So this is our last episode for like a month. Yeah. Where it's just going to be us doing dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Because after this, we have a bunch of guests. So guests. Next week, I believe it is. I probably should have looked at the schedule. So next week, we have Joyce Sullivan. And she has her debut book came out April 9th. She probably should have came on the podcast a little sooner. Mm. But I think...
we probably had some scheduling things or something.
I can't really remember. But her book, Instructions for Traveling West Poems, so that came out April 9th. So she'll be on to discuss that. And then I believe, I don't think it's that week. Let me look at the goddamn calendar.
Look at it. Study it.
I'm going to hit the knobs. I hit the knobs and we got slightly louder. Let me,
for a few seconds.
Let me just turn that up a little. Yeah, there we go.
Pitch it up.
I pitched it up a little bit.
Quit being a pitch bitch.
Pitch bitch. So Joyce Sullivan's next week. The following week is Francis Flannery from Ireland. That's not the right. I can't do it. Yeah, so we have Francis Flannery in the following week. She comes from the enchanting literary and drinking shores of Ireland, not just Ireland.
Yeah.
She's here to discuss the launch of her debut novel, Writing Man. So that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
And that's another, checking off the list of having somebody from a different country. You know, that's another.
We've had a bunch of people. We had from Wales. We have Nicholas Obregon, who's a globetrotter. Or you just mean the specific countries?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's, we have.
So mark Ireland off.
Yeah, we can mark Ireland off now.
I mean, Ash from Erie This was in Edinburgh, which is Scotland.
Yeah.
So now we got...
but they're different.
Dude, we got the whole UK. We got England, because Matt Holland was on. I think we might have had other English people.
Yeah.
And then we got Scotland.
Well, he was over... Ash was in both. Wasn't he over in England, too, before?
I think the first time. And then we got... who was it from Wales? The colony. Benjamin Cross.
Yes.
He's Welsh.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Francis Flannery from... Ireland. So that is cool. We got all the UK finally, all these years, we got them all down.
We need to get an Aussie.
She was a very fun correspondence here with the emails.
Just from the couple of stuff that you've been telling me about, she seems pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun one.
I feel like that's the one we need to be drinking. I don't know what time it would be.
It's a special one. It's Memorial Day at 4.
Yeah, but I mean over there. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh. It's Ireland. They're always drinking.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, I forgot this person. Didn't schedule them from Egypt. Would have been a... I think I sent you that. I forgot about it. It was somebody's publicist, but...
Oh, I think, yeah.
Someone from I'm not going to go into that one because...
not finalized?
I think on one of his, I can't pronounce any of the stuff.
Because
it's all Arabic type of words. And
we're just getting trouble again.
I'm fucking dumb. Yeah, I'm not good at African and Arabic pronunciation, so.
Are you better than me? I have trouble just with English pronunciations.
Yeah. The following week, we have author C.E. Hoffman coming on, which they did provide an ARC, which is Sluts and Whores. Wait a minute. Ooh. Wait a minute. That's a different book, I think. But that's the one I want to read.
Yeah.
And then there's one, Blood, Booze, and Other Things in Nature. It's been a minute since I read this email. Ghost Trolls and Other Things. We have a lot to talk about with them. So what are they actually promoting? okay.
Book, probably.
Second short story collection, Losers and Freaks, out from Currencia Press Summer 2024. I guess that's the press. But yeah, Losers and Freaks. And that's actually one that'll be, we're promoting because it's going to be coming out versus one that's already out. Because I think Francis's book is out as well. And then after that, I think we have one more guest, David Winner. I think that's another Saggy Meniscus person. Let me look. Yeah, David Winner, author of Master Lovers. And that is, it doesn't say, I'm pretty sure it's Saggy Meniscus. Because Tarina reached out with that one.
Oh, okay.
And I think everyone she brought on has been Saggy Meniscus, with the exception of David Scott Hay. Which I think... I forget who turned us on to him. Was it her? I think it was her.
Yeah, it
was her. She.
Yeah, because we had almost another month where we have guests that were basically just from her.
Yeah, she's She's just been a pipeline. Yeah. She had such fun on the show. I guess just everyone send it our way. It's like, all right,
yeah, well,
less work we gotta do, which is none because we don't ever work to get. I've never done a call out for guest ever.
I mean, we don't even read most of the people's stuff. Unfortunately,
I feel bad, but when we literally are going to have a guest every week,
yeah,
like C.E. Hoffman might have been able to read their short story, like mm-hmm. some of them. Mm-hmm. Like I might actually go through and at least read one, just to, you know, I'll send you the thing. You could probably read fucking one story right. out of it, just so you could talk about something with them. But yeah, like everyone else got books.
Well, and it's not like it'd be like one thing if we were like a strictly like an interview
yeah.
podcast, like if that was kind of like the goal where like each week we had an interview, you know what I mean? I feel like
we end up usually not. I mean, I try to make sure we talk about the book at the mm-hmm. beginning and then at the end, but we always go into different yeah. stuff anyway. So that's what it is.
But again, like I still feel like I know whenever I like listen to podcasts, like I do like them to talk about some of the work, but I feel like I get a better feel for the person just hearing them talk about random shit, and like that makes me more apt to be like, I don't want to try their stuff out because I like them, other than maybe like I might like the story, you know.
You're more selling yourself than you are your book,
right?
Because most people don't just want to hear a book pitch unless it sounds really fucking crazy,
right?
Yeah, a lot of the times the book pitch, even if it's really interesting, it's not going to sell the audience. They want to hear you, and they want you to be interesting. So that's what I try to bring out.
Yeah, I like kind of we kind of do this too. It's like you kind of talk about it in the beginning, and then you kind of like talk about it at the end to wrap
bring,
it.
Yeah, you bring yeah. it back. The middle is just nonsense.
Right.
That's what the people want is the nonsense, and that's what we bring. Anyway, today we have a special episode.
Special. I'm sure in many ways.
Yeah, I actually had a topic I came up with, and I think you'll appreciate this one because it goes to our roots of the whole fucking podcast.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a minute after these musical notes. Notes. What does that mean? All right, you're welcoming the guys to the burp, the belch. The belch threw me off. Yeah, anyway, introduction of the musical variety. You are listening to the Drunken Penwriting Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb James. With me, as always, Spencer, the Montpelier Monster Masher Church.
And Monster Masters.
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 You're vibrating. Your phone. Why is it only your phone? What fucking cheap knockoff weird phone do you have that affects the mic?
Like, I don't know.
Mine doesn't do that at all. Yours only does it at weird angles yeah. from across the like, I don't. You know what you need is one of these.
Maybe, like, if it's whenever I'm trying to mend buttons, maybe. No.
For those who can't see, Spencer's fucking waving his phone around like an idiot because he's thinking it's going to make noises. It's probably just like there's a plate in your head you don't know about. Just reflecting off of that. So today's episode, I got the idea because I was looking, you know, I got published in Strange Day Zine Volume 14.
Mm-hmm.
You got your copy in the mail, you said.
Yep.
I read that as soon as I got it because it's only like 30-something pages. Mm. They're small.
Yeah.
Like, they're real small.
I was flipping through it. I haven't had a chance to read anything yet.
But it just, like, you look at the layout, the covers, the pictures inside. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, it looks cool.
Like, just how it's set up is really cool. And that made me think, could we make one of these? Like, we were always talking about doing a magazine or an anthology. What if we just made a little zine to, like, test the waters, you know?
I would be okay with that.
Would that be cost effective? Well, I did the numbers.
Ooh.
I did just, like, your basic stuff. I didn't do the staples. I did, like, the Strange Days, like, you know, the
it's like a little
perfect
spine.
Binding. Yeah, yeah, a little spine. 32 pages. I did, like, a matte cover. And everything else was just in the middle settings. $38 per issue. Or it's cheaper as you go up. So when I just randomly selected 20 issues, it was $128, which divided by 20 was like six something.
Oh.
Not bad at all.
No.
So the higher up you go, the cheaper
it
is.
Bigger
so
do, yeah.
If we actually did put out, you know, well, here's what I would want to do before we go into this. The episode's going to be about how you make one.
Okay.
I thought that'd be kind of a fun topic. We've never covered that because we talked about doing anthologies and stuff and short story collections. And originally when we created the podcast, it was like, well, actually we just created DPW in general. It was about creating a short story collection.
Yeah.
Which we've had like forever and just never put it out. Well, if we had a zine I was thinking it could be something like DPW presents, and then, you know, volume one, Drunken Knights, volume two, Mischievous Marauders, whatever, just like, you know, have a theme. And then we, since we have a bunch of stories already, we could just have a couple stories per zine, and then maybe like, I would like to do invite only.
Yeah.
So I just get writers I like and invite them to write a, you know, article or something.
Because like, because honestly, like, because yeah, it's 30 something pages, but like, especially if we go with the size of like the couple of zines that we have been getting, like it doesn't take much to fill out those pages.
No. Well, here's the problem.
Because what that Strange Day is, literally, it's like palm size.
Yeah.
You could probably put it in the back, in your back pocket.
To be honest with you, with the short stories we had for our original anthology, like a couple, I think like four or five of them were 10,000 words or 15,000 words. That probably would fill the whole fucking book almost.
Yeah, those would have to be for a more traditional.
Yeah, we would have to do, so we wouldn't be able to necessarily use those, but we could still use other things. And also, we could use things that we've had published because we have the rights to them.
And it also is just a good, like, hey, I need to write something because I have you know, it's one thing with like, I'm trying to get some writing done. There's some submissions that I want to try to get to, but it's another thing to it's like, oh, we're putting out something ourselves. We need the content.
Yeah. But even if we, like, depending on the page numbers and stuff, maybe one of the 10,000 word stories and then some, like, I mean, are we going to do like an actual zine where we have some articles, some R, maybe somebody do comics, maybe when it grows. Again, this is just spitballing. Like, once we get into the thing, you see the amount of work.
Right.
And I already knew, just looking at Strange Days, how well formatted it is and everything. I'm like, this is gotta be fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good at that stuff. That'd be like a project that we might have to bring someone in on that knows more what they're doing, and they can be a contributor to it, or even just pay them.
Right.
But I like the idea of doing, instead of, you know, open submission calls, do invite only, and then be like, hey, if you want to write a story for this, I'll give you, you know, $20 or something.
And because you figure, like, between you, like, you, me, I'm sure Ash would like to do something too, you know.
I would imagine the first issue, the inaugural issue, would probably just be the DPW guys.
Yeah.
And like Bryce, because he's been on. Or even just like further extend it to people who've been on the DPW podcast, like, you know, Nick or fucking Ash.
No, that would be cool, like, if we got just like a couple thousand words thing from where we're gone. That would
be cool.
That'd be pretty sweet.
And again, it could be nonfiction. It doesn't have to be fiction.
Oh, true, yeah.
And then like I was saying, Ash from Here Read This, he writes plays and stuff. Uh-huh. Like, hey, you got like a short play or something you want, you know, we'll publish it. I have no problem paying you because it's only going to be a couple pages and I'll give you $20. That's a good payday for basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't know if that would be something I'm going to do, you know,
right now.
Yeah.
Because like we said, we'll
get into the articles to see like the amount of work that goes into this. Because I got two separate articles. One's more detailed than the other.
I want to say, we're both also too, like, in midst of, like,
a lot of projects,
big submissions, like, we're trying to work on too.
That's the thing. Like, maybe when, like, the year starts to slow down, or even if the summertime usually dries up a little submission wise. Maybe that would be a good time for it, but just the fact that we are getting, you know, a little more established with publishing stuff, that might be a good thing, is just to put out our own, you know, zine to start with, instead of a full-on anthology or something that's more cost prohibitive and also harder to put out. Because a zine, like Strange Day, sells theirs just through an Etsy shop. Mm. We could do that.
We could do that.
I got my website as well. Yeah. I could just sell it off of there.
And you know, just the people we know off by hand, or again, that'd be a good thing to have, because I'm sure that's something, like, you know, if whatever, like, we get like however many copies, I'm sure we could go back and reprint more copies, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know,
so like we've always talked about, you know, shows and stuff too, like that could be
something,
or even just going to conventions and not having a table, just hand like a couple out to some people.
It's something that small, it's not as expensive as a regular book. People would flock to that. Especially, like, the Strange Days, like, the covers are just fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks cool. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't really care about what's in it, like, it just looks cool. So, things like that I'm always for. But anyway, this first one is from the Creative Independent. Now, both of these articles I found were from 2018. The second one's from Vice, which is a very basic article.
Yeah.
I don't know if in 2018, because that's pre-pandemic, so I don't know what was going on that made everyone want to fucking publish their own zines, but this I'm not going to go into the details like the intro and stuff, because it goes into like the history of zines. Like they start off as fanzines online, and
that's a whole nother episode. I think could be a fun episode.
True, because like this talks about like the Twitter era and people making fanzines, and just a lot of like punk and music people were doing it. And but this actually goes all the way back to the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
like you look at like Cemetery Dance when that came out in the 80s by Richard Chismar. 80s, early 90s, like things like that where people already make, Stephen King talked about making his own newspaper and stuff.
Yeah.
Like people were already doing this for a very long time. It just wasn't on a scale that was, like the quality wasn't, like even if you can't write at all, the actual printing quality is still good.
And also there wasn't like the internet to widely
distribute it. Yeah, that's a big part of it. Now, when you have a zine, it could be a few things. One, it could be like Strange Days, where you actually source work. You have stories, articles, like a magazine. Or you could just do a poetry one. You could do one that's just your own musings, your own writings. It depends. It doesn't have to be actually for an audience. Like, it could just be something for yourself. Mm. Again, you know, 20 copies, $128, and that was just like, you know, generalities, but $38 for just a single copy. But a person could just, you know, if they just wanted one copy for themselves, just to like almost like a diary.
Yeah.
Like it's a little splurge, but it would be kind of cool to have, you know, just put it on your shelf. And this is my work. You could also do, you know, art zines and different things like that. And they have examples on this website. I'll link this one in the show notes because this one's actually well done and pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very lengthy. Like I said, the Vice one was very basic.
What about girthy? Is it girthy?
Lengthy, not girthy.
Oh.
It's not thick.
It can't be both?
Sometimes, but the blood loss. Like, when all the blood goes into it, are we talking about the same thing?
I don't know. Let's just go back to the article.
So what are zines good for, Spencer?
Absolutely nothing.
Publish sketches, drawings, and pretty much what I just said. Mini comics is a cool one. I've actually bought random zines at conventions and stuff that were just like people's comics.
And then like there's these things like Ashcan comics where they're like you know, they might only be like 5 or 6 pages, you know, but they're like these little like Strange Day, like little mini like things.
This one I'm not quite sure exactly what it means. Match recipes with whimsical illustrations. Is that just like cooking recipes?
Maybe, yeah.
But I like the idea. I always thought there's two things I always wanted to do that would be really fucking cool. I would like to make my own version of like the Voynich manuscript, which is like one of the oldest manuscripts found that's written in the language no one knows. And it has drawings of plants and weird things that no one has ever seen. Some people think it's a hoax. Some people think it was like a long lost civilization. There's all kinds of theories, but I'd like to just make my own, like, you know, a fictitious. Weathered looking journal kind of thing, and then you know, just pretend, you know, I wouldn't sell it, but just like to have be kind of cool.
It'd be like almost making your own like astronaut or your Necronomicon.
That's another one I was thinking, is like your own version of a Necronomicon would really be cool. That one you could probably sell as an art book.
Yeah,
you could sell either of them as an art book if you do printings of them. The other thing I would like to do would be not necessarily just like occult stuff, but what used to be really popular were like black magic books and alchemy books and things like that. I would like to do a fictitious version where it seems like it's real.
Yeah.
And you can like almost tell a story without actually being a fiction story, but like kind of like a fiction story, but you make it like it's a real black magic book.
You know, would be fun would be like to do one. It's like a pamphlet, you know, the zine's like almost like a pamphlet for like a cult or like, like a secret society, you know, like the Freemasons like pamphlet.
You know, there's a couple cool things you could do with that too. One, actually, they probably go together, whether it's like a secret society or a religion.
Yeah,
you make one for one that doesn't exist. Yeah. Like, but then nobody, like, you read it and you're like, what the fuck is this? And like, established in 1432, but it's just like this weird thing with like very intricate drawings and stuff, and people are like, is this real?
That's how Scientology started.
I mean, pretty much. More things about what zines are good for. Mix words with images and textures, print lines of poetry, share a manifesto. Let's go on about the manifesto. Manifestos never turn out well.
No, there's never been like a good manifesto, right? Like there's always like a raven of some madman.
It's a cool word though. By the way, you can actually do these zines for, I don't know if they're free, but they're probably pretty cheap if you do have to pay is the digital flip zines. Like, that's a thing. Like, you could just, I think you subscribe to the service maybe, or probably a lot, like a few of the publications on In utilize that same format, right, for their anthologies. When you go into a zine, what is your zine going to be about? Well, rather than just like, I want to have poems and fiction, I think a theme is better.
Right. Or a genre or something.
Think like an actual magazine. If you just format your zine like an actual magazine where it's like, okay, you know, we're talking about motorcycles. Like, that's what my zine's about, right, is motorcycles. You don't want to stray too far from that. So for us fiction writers, we want to have like stories and things like that. And if it's a DPW presents, we would probably want to steer more towards writing, reading, like if we have articles, mm-hmm, and stuff, you know, like what the podcast is, but then also stories. But if you just wanted a straight poetry, you could do that. Like, whatever it is. You just need to figure out what your zine is about and stick to it. And that doesn't mean every issue, if you have, you know, multiple issues, has to be that. Because you could do, let's go with the writing again, volume one, sci-fi, mm-hmm, volume two, horror. You can split it that way. Mm-hmm. But again, you don't want to be like, okay, Caleb Zine, volume one, horror stories. Mm. Caleb Zine, volume two, The Wide World of Boats, Fishing, Bass, right, Fishing, volume three, How to Get Good at Surfing. Like, yeah, you can't mix things in life too much. It'd, right, be stupid. Because then you're never going to get an audience. But you're just going to have too many fucking, like, maybe an audience for that one issue. They're not going to carry over. Working with collaborators. Now, this was, again, going with the Strange Days. They sourced work, so they put out open call submissions. They do not pay, but they give you a contributor copy, mm-hmm, which for, you know, the book sells for $11 and I have a 2-page story.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Right.
And you get a cool book to read, actually.
Especially considering how, like we were just saying, like a lot of zines are just like digital or online.
Yeah.
So to actually have the thing in print.
Yeah, that makes it worth it for me. Now, there were some like articles in there that were like 10 pages or something. Yeah. I would probably, if I had a article like that, I would want some money like, yeah, that long. Cause that, you know, that's a good length. Again, though, that might not be that long if you just had it in full length pages.
Right.
Like maybe it's only four or five pages.
Couple, yeah.
But even so, I would want paid for something a little longer, but like, what is essentially a flash fiction story. It was like 1200 words max. That's, I don't care. Yeah. I'll give that away. I don't give a shit. But working with collaborators, and I don't know if it... Oh, it does mention this next. Licensing. When you work with collaborators, and this isn't just sourcing work. This is, hey, me and you are going to put a zine out. You're going to do the art. I'm going to do... Like, how do we go about that? Am I paying you? Are we doing this together? Mm-hmm. Are we both getting, you know, sharing the profits of this? How is the profit sharing working? A lot of that... Like, for us, we wouldn't need a contract with each other. We're not going to fuck each other. But if we brought in Joe Schmoes, the artist, and hey, we're going to pay you for the cover and some of the interior art, but we're not going to give you royalties or anything, or, you know, we're not going to give you any money for the sales of this. You just get a flat fee. Mm. You want that down in an agreement.
Yeah.
You want a contract for that. Now, let's say like Mike offered to do, if we ever did an anthology, to do like a cover or something, I would want to pay Mike.
Right.
And I'm sure Mike would fucking refuse like an asshole. But I would know Mike is not going to fuck us,
right,
and be like, hey, you know what? I decided I want some of those sales profits because, right, this thing took off.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I mean, again, we wouldn't fuck Mike either, but just saying, if you know someone and you're close friends and it's a zine, it's probably not that big. But the bigger you get,
yeah,
so if this thing takes off and all of a sudden you got 30,000 subscribers to your zine, you might want to actually put some kind of contract in play.
Like, I've already seen videos and things people talking about, like, you know, with like comics, even if like, you know, just their own like self-publishing, even if it's like with a friend, they say it's best to try to get like a contract.
Yeah.
A, just because it's like professional and it's good, you know, good practice for...
You have everything laid out and, you know, keep communications open because things do change.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the guys gets sick and he can't contribute. Well, was that guy going to be getting the same profits everyone else is getting if he wasn't in volume three?
Or, right.
You know? Like, it's not really fair.
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of more professional, and it's just like...
Keeps things from getting messy.
Yeah, and you have that thing there to be like, you know, like those guidelines there.
Another thing you need to focus on is creative direction. So giving your zine its own signature feel versus being like a generic again, oh, you know, we're just going to be a random story zine and it's just going to be wacky stories and that's all we do. That's not very personal. Like, you know, like, again, DPW Presents, we would have our own flavor to that.
Yeah.
Not just our logo and, you know, our covers and stuff that reflect who we are as people. But when you read it, like editor's notes, articles, things would be geared towards what we do. But I can see a lot of people having a zine where it's just like, I like writing some poems and I want some other people to write poems. And it's just a poetry collection. Well, now you just did a poetry collection. Yeah. You didn't necessarily do a zine. Like, I think of like Thrasher magazines. I'm not a skateboarder, never been a skateboarder. No. But I always like Thrasher magazines just because the feel of it was like, it reminds me of just 90s skateboarder, punk rock, fucking doing crazy shit, crazy stories, like, crazy pictures.
You may not be like a huge skateboarder guy, but you could like pick it off the rack and flip through it and like know what's going on by it, you know, and tell what's happening.
You know the feel of it, you know? Designing your zine. So this one I might get a little more detail.
I feel like that would be the hardest part.
For us, because we're not, like, I can do the designing. I honestly, as meticulous as I am with everything, my worry is not learning how to do it or putting it together well or anything. It's the fucking amount of time
it takes.
I wouldn't be writing anymore. I might fuck up the podcast. I would get absorbed. Like, how long did it take me to learn all the podcast shit?
Right.
Like, what did I do for just like months straight? Just learn everything I could about podcasting. And it still sucks. Yeah. So what format will your zine take? So this, I already got a taste of this when I was going through the zine maker, which is very handy. I don't know if that was around 2018, but just like the very first link I clicked, it was just a zine maker. It has every you can't fuck it up now.
Yeah.
Like it has
I'm surprised it's not like an app.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of apps. I'm not talking about the actual formatting of the manuscript. I'm talking about putting the zine together, the cover, the paper, the width, the length, the height, all that shit.
I'm sure they also probably have like on websites, they kind of give you like a prompt of like, hey, you can have your title here with the article coming down. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, even this says they have zine templates for software templates, like InDesign and Microsoft Word. So you could get all that stuff. Like, it probably wouldn't take long. And honestly, if I was ever going to do a zine, I would probably just reach out to Andrew, who does Strange Days.
Yeah.
Or one of the, you know, many publisher buddies we have that probably are involved.
Pick their brains a little
bit. Yeah, it's like, hey, what program do you use? Like, what would be the quickest way to get a product like yours, you know? How it look? That's more of a money issue. Are you going to have color, high-definition pictures? We talk about the perfect binding versus the staple. They also had the rings, which was
like the old school plastic ring. Yeah.
If I'd like that. That's a weird one.
I don't know. I would almost think I would like that other than the staples, because I'd be worried
staples are garbage. You don't want the staples.
I'd be like, just being a comic book guy, I always worry about the staples.
My Strange Days, because it's perfect binding, even though it's so small, it's on my shelf.
Yeah.
But if it's floppy with staples.
No.
I can't remember. Is Diabolic Press, because that's an actual magazine, is that staples?
I think it is, but
it's upstairs.
Yeah.
I think that might be staple, because I don't think that one stands that well on my shelf. Like, I pressed it between stuff, but it's a little thicker paper, though.
You can't
though.
See it. Like, we're looking at your shelf, you can't see what it is.
Yeah, you can't read the bind. Yeah. I want to be able to read. Like, Strange Days, you could read the spine, even though it's small. How will it be edited together? So, I'm going to see if this is anything I can... So this is actually talking about the manuscript. Do you hire an editor? I would hire an editor if I was, one, trying to put out like a really big anthology or book, or even my own novel. I would hire an editor.
Yeah.
But for a zine I think I'm proficient enough. I can.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be perfect. Nothing ever is. But I think for what we're putting out, I would be more than, especially the authors, I would be having submit work to us too, like that. I would invite. I wouldn't be too worried about typos and stuff. I can catch that.
Yeah, that's like one of those things, like, unless if you know somebody,
yeah, like,
they can help you out maybe, but...
But since I would go for like, you know, 30-something, a shorter, like a small zine, I would maybe see if I could find some freelance writers, be like, hey, since this thing's only this many pages, you know, just spelling a grammar, what's that going to cost me?
Yeah.
And it might be $100. Because a lot of freelance, at least back when I was looking... A lot of freelance editors would charge $500 for a whole novel just for spelling, like not plot holes or, you know, actual editing, just spelling and grammar.
And like, and like 500, like that's, I think that's pretty good price because like I've heard,
A lot of people spend thousands.
Yeah.
But again, freelance editors, the price is negotiable and it just depends on what kind of product you're putting out. So if you have a 500 page book, that's probably gonna be more than a 200 page book.
Yeah.
Because imagine how long it takes to read a book. Now, imagine having to go and read it multiple times to find things, right, and you have a deadline. Would not be a fun job. So, again, there's a bunch of information on this. So I am going to put this in the show notes. This creative independent. Oh, there's a note about printing. So let's see what they have to say about that. Printing your zines. If you want to create a bunch of physical copies of your zine, there are several routes you can take. This one talks about doing the Xerox route, doing it yourself if you really...
Oh.
This person says it's a real pain in the ass. Like, don't do that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Going
to fucking Kinko's and shit.
If that's even a place anymore. Right. But you can go to local copy shops and they could put the book together for you. Like, some do that. Like, you could. But again, I don't know if it'd be any cheaper than going to... other than supporting local business, I don't know if it'd be any cheaper than just doing the online. I feel like... if you're really bad,
yeah,
and you can't even figure out how to do, like, you need somebody to walk you through everything, then yeah, go to like a copy shop or something. But there's a bunch of options for it. Even if you go to like Blurb or Lulu, which we messed around with when we were looking at book pricing and stuff to put your own work out, they have the option, I think, of zine, and you can just, you know, do that. But the one I found seemed, it was like straight up just a zine maker. That seemed like the most. Yeah. I mean, again, $6 for like a, you know. I would like to ask the Strange Days, like, what, where they get theirs printed, because I really liked the, you know, everything that was in that. Distributor zine, that's another one where it just depends how much money you want to spend and how much work you want to do. I don't know how you can go about selling it on Amazon without printing through Amazon. I don't, like, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I don't see why you couldn't as a third-party seller. I personally, I don't know the process. Yeah. I don't even know how about developing any of that shit. But if you can print a zine through Amazon, then obviously you'd be able to just easily sell it through there. And I think even on Lulu, you might be able to sell it through there. So that would be something to look for whenever you're just doing the printings to see if they sell through that printer. Again, I would probably just go for the one that doesn't, and I just print it myself and do an Etsy shop or a website or like your idea. We'd print out a bunch, sell them at conventions, things like that. But yeah, the distributing, that goes into marketing. And do you want to do a straight up, hey, this is all we are, is a zine?
Yeah.
Like an actual zine? Or is it just like, this is like a fun thing we do,
right,
but we're also something else? Or it's even just, hey, I just want, me and my buddies wanted to share our work.
Put something out.
Yeah, like there's different levels, there's different tiers. So you don't have to feel like it's all or nothing. Like, oh no, I have to do the best and get all these sales. And
it's like, we haven't had a new credit in a while. Let's put something out ourselves.
Yeah, you could do that. And then it goes on, this article goes on into promoting. Trading zines is another popular thing that I didn't know about. I guess a lot of people meet up and they trade their zines.
Well, I could see that, yeah.
When we were in those weird occult...
It's like a weird, like, underground kind of thing. Yeah.
When we went to those weird occult shops in Allentown, they had a row of zines from all around. Like, some of them were, I think, from England and stuff, so they must be bigger. But they had zines, because I looked up and I wanted to submit to a bunch of them, but of course none of them were open for submissions, at least at the time when I was looking. But they had different zines, almost all of them were zines. They weren't books or anthologies, they're all zines. So apparently that, like, in that sphere, not just occult, but, you know, like witchy stuff and the what do they call them? I guess misfits.
Yeah.
Like the misfit kind of crew.
Well, it's very like punk rocky.
Yeah, that scene. That's what I'm getting at. They're really big into the zines and the whole, like, independent publishing kind
of
thing.
Like, you know who I'm surprised that wouldn't have, like, a lot of zines? Like, what's his name from Black Flag?
Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
Well, he actually has real books.
No, but I'm just saying, like, he would, like, you know.
Be the guy that
would, like, you know, like, that kind of feel, or, like, you know, that kind of culture.
Right. Okay, now I'm going to go to the Vice article. Basically, it's the dumbed down version. Oh, look at that.
What's that?
I closed it out somehow and it's gone. Oh,
forever. Never to be found again.
No, I just gotta go back through fucking Google.
Just hitting buttons and searching and the looking. looking.
And again, both of these are from 2018, so I'm sure there are some updated things. It's probably way easier.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
Like you said, apps. So there's probably just apps for everything. Or like just that link I saw where that I went to was just the zine maker. That probably didn't exist in 2018.
No.
Or if it did, it was very expensive, but it's, you know, cheaper now. So this was just a Vice piece, a beginner's guide to making zines. And again, this one actually doesn't have that much information, so I'm not going to really read it. Decide what your zine is going to be about.
Very basic topic.
Decide what format your zine is going to be. Now, there are stitch-bound zines, perfect-bound zines, accordion zines, tiny zines that come in matchboxes. That'd be kind of cool. Large poster size zines. That is something that we didn't go into in the other article. There's a whole list. Posters, printable
folder paper. I kind of like the stitch.
Yeah, but again, that's just how much money you want to spend. Yeah. Well, some of these I think are like homemade.
Yeah.
But this goes into not just the feel of your zine and the personal touches of your zine, but what is your zine going to be if you go into like a stitched, you know, or our zines are printed in leather book cover things, or that could be the selling point for it because it's unique. Like it'll make it stand out because how many people are making zines off of just the here's the pre-printed. You know, here's the paper. It's like a lot of people are probably doing that. But some of these, you know, like the matchbox size and, you know, all that stuff. You could even do a zine where half of it's this way and then the other half's upside down. It's a different zine altogether. Two zines in one.
A flip zine.
Flip zine. Yeah, you could do all kinds of stuff. But the main thing is you decide on that before you go down the route.
Yeah.
And probably stick to it. Don't fuck around too much. Don't decide this is going to be a portrait zine, but then the second volume is going to be in landscape and it's going to be long. Nobody wants that. Remember to format your pages correctly. That's the hardest one that I would fuck up because they have to fit properly. Start making the thing and print. That's it. That's all Vice had to say.
Hit the print button.
Yeah, that's stupid. But I think that would be a fun rip because I could just picture it now. The first of all, you know, DPW presents Volume 1, Drunken Nights.
Yeah.
And that would be the title of the zine, DPW Presents.
Okay.
Like, that would be, the, like, Strange Days.
And then each one would have, like, a new subtitle.
Yeah, so it'd be DPW Presents, Volume 1, Drunken Nights would be the subtitle. And then that theme for that volume would be stories about drunken stuff and articles and everything. And then I could already picture, like, whatever cool drunken scene we have for the art cover and stuff. And then I just see our little DPW logo on the back, the podcast logo.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
You know, it'd be a cool thing to do with a zine too. Like, if we knew we were gonna try to do a couple issues, is like have a if you can have the themes close enough to be like, you know, have something go through a couple issues at the zine.
Yeah, you could do that as well. So anyway, I hope some of you folks were inspired to make your own zine because I just think that'd be a cool idea. I'm sure a lot of people do it, but do they take off? I don't know. I've been seeing more and more lately just online when I do submissions. Like, I find, like, reputable zines that are pretty popular. Like I said, the Strange Days is just really cool, like, the layout and everything. And just, you know, it is set up like a almost like an old-school National Enquirer, like, oh, our alien, you know, we seen aliens, and it tells you the story about aliens or, you know, things like that. But it's not as far-fetched and full of bullshit as those are. But anyway, we thank you for listening. If you like this episode, you won't have one for a while because we've got a bunch of guests.
We're gonna be professional for a while.
We'll try. You can check us out at DPW Podcast on Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. Spencer is up in Montpelier, Vermont, and he is mashing monsters.
Yep.
What kind of monsters? And how you mashing them?
With a hammer? With a big mallet?
Oh, I thought you were... Okay, I don't know, some kind of other mashing. Yeah. That's different. That monster was just the name of your girlfriend.
Oh!
Or boyfriend, we don't judge around here. So anyway, we'll check you out next week. Again, we will be talking to Joy Sullivan, unless she bails.
Couldn't blame her.
After listening to the fucking, what was it? It's a fucking shark episode.
It's a fucking shark.
Because that would be the one they'd probably listen to.
And they'd be like, oh, man, these motherfuckers jumped the shark.
Oh, these guys are goddamn idiots.